This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome to CBS Mornings as we begin a new month. It's Tuesday, March 1st. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppel.
And I'm Nate Burleson.
In Ukraine, there are troubling new developments in Ukraine as Russian bombs, shells, and missiles hit heavily populated areas. Video released by the Ukrainian government appears to show civilians caught up in an attack on a government building in Kharkiv. Ukraine's president is now accusing Russia of war crimes. In the meantime, a 40-mile-long convoy of Russian military vehicles is on the move towards north of Kiev. These reinforcements could indicate a major new Russian offensive. The backup prompter, please. Sorry about this. Those reinforcements could indicate a major new Russian offensive is imminent. Charlie Daggett is in Kyiv with more on this part of the story. Charlie, this is just very upsetting to watch this in real time as it's progressing. Good morning to you.
It is, Gail. Thank you. Good morning to you, because it's getting worse by the hour. President Volodymyr Zelensky doubled down, as you said, calling the strike today in Kharkiv a war crime, saying calling state terrorism on the part of Russia, and saying that the defense of the capital here is now the key priority.
A huge missile slams into the city administration building in Kharkiv's Freedom Square this morning. The number of dead and injured is not clear at this hour, but people are believed to be buried under the rubble and a rescue operation is underway. It's the latest salvo in what has become a full-scale Russian assault on Ukraine's second-largest city, including a series of indiscriminate rocket attacks that rained down on dense urban areas. The Interior Ministry says dozens of civilians have been killed. Ukraine's ambassador to the U.S. accused Russia of using weapons banned by most countries.
They used the vacuum bomb today, which is actually prohibited by Geneva Convention. So, you know, the devastation that Russia is trying to inflict on Ukraine is large.
In a late night address, Ukrainian President Zelensky described what he called the bombardment of Kharkiv as a war crime, laying blame on President Putin himself. Many fear the Russian president, at the end of his ever-lengthening table, is becoming more isolated, unpredictable, and dangerous by the day. The civilian death toll is climbing. This 6-year-old girl was injured by Russian shelling while out grocery shopping with her parents. Doctors fought desperately to revive her, but she could not be saved. Now, the capital itself may be in the crosshairs of an all-out battle. New satellite images show a massive 40-mile Russian military convoy on the move from the north. Russia's advance is leaving a trail of destruction in its path, wrecking villages and suburbs on the way. Ukrainian forces have put up stiff resistance so far, holding ground despite being outgunned and outnumbered. But the real test lies ahead as the war enters a dangerous new phase and this city of more than 3 million people braces for the battle to come. What many fear is an aerial bombardment of the capital, and overnight the Ukrainian president pleaded for a no-fly zone. The White House has already dismissed that, saying that is not a good idea. Nate?
Charlie Daggett in Kyiv. Thank you.
The UN estimates more than 666,000 people have fled the country because of the fighting. Long lines have formed at Ukraine's western border as women and children leave family members behind to join the fight. Many refugees arrive exhausted with no place to go. Chris Livesay is along the border.
It's an exodus that shows no signs of slowing. At Ukraine's border with Poland, refugees line up for more than 20 miles in freezing temperatures, yearning for safety. At Lviv's main train station in western Ukraine, thousands more try desperately to get out. But not everyone can.
The war isn't just driving families away, it's driving families apart. Women and children are fleeing the country while men of fighting age are running into battle.
So you left your father in Ukraine to fight?
Yes, yes.
I love my country. This Russia, it's bad country.
Men, some difficult not to call boys, now face frontline combat, even though they've never held a gun, like 18-year-old medical student Yaroslav.
If I must go, I will go.
Did you ever imagine you'd be faced with something like this?
No. It's like a nightmare.
What were you doing a week ago?
I just texted with my girlfriend, going with my friends, and I sitting at computer, and I don't imagine that Russia invade in my country. So...
And just like that, things changed.
Yes, yes, just like boom, and... okay, sorry.
Yaroslav was with his six-year-old sister, Michelle. They had just said goodbye to their father, who, like so many Ukrainians, was staying back to fight. This war robbing Ukraine not just of human life, but of its innocence and so much of its youth as well. Tony?
Yeah, and then, of course, they wait for word if they make it out of the country. Are their brothers and their fathers okay, their sons? Chris Livesay in western Ukraine. Chris, thank you very much. The Russian invasion will, of course, be a big issue for President Biden tonight in the State of the Union address. But a new CBS News poll just out this morning finds that Americans also have other issues on their minds. And the poll also shows that the president's overall approval rating is at 44%, a number that is 18 points lower than just a year ago, driven down in part by growing concerns over the economy and inflation. Ed O'Keefe is at the White House for us. Ed, good morning. What do we think the president's going to do to try to get these numbers up?
Well, good morning, Tony. The speech he's giving tonight is certainly not the one he was expecting to give even just a few weeks ago. But the Russian invasion has forced a rewrite. And that same poll shows most Americans want to hear about the president's foreign policy and how a war in Europe could affect people here at home.
As Russian attacks intensify in Ukraine, new CBS News polling shows a majority of Americans support U.S. actions in response to Russia. But they're also concerned about a wider war. President Biden is downplaying Russian President Vladimir Putin's decision to put his nuclear forces on alert.
Mr. President, should Americans be worried about nuclear war?
No.
And the isolation of Russia continues. Days after the U.S. and dozens of other countries imposed historic sanctions, Standard & Poor's downgraded Russia's credit rating to junk status. And Russian airlines are grounded by airspace restrictions across Europe. But Ukrainian officials visiting Washington are pushing for more.
They will probably erase Kyiv, Kharkiv, and the other cities from the map.
They're pleading with the U.S. to impose a no-fly zone over Ukraine.
We need to protect the sky because they are using the sky to shoot us.
But the White House says that's unlikely.
A no-fly zone would require implementation. It would require deploying U.S. military to enforce, which would be a direct conflict, potentially a direct conflict, and potentially war with Russia, which is something we are not planning to be a part of.
On Capitol Hill, lawmakers are now focused on sending more weapons and humanitarian aid to Ukraine.
Vladimir Putin will lose this battle. He will lose this war. He will be a pariah amongst not only NATO and America, but amongst all civilized nations around the world.
The economic impacts on energy and food prices as a result of this conflict are not just going to go away in 2, 3, or 4 weeks. This is going to be a multi-year challenge.
And the crisis is set to dominate the president's first formal State of the Union address tonight. And that's what most Americans want to hear. But other top concerns include the economy, inflation, and the pandemic.
So on those issues of the economy and inflation, let me show you two more numbers from our new CBS News poll out this morning. 62% of Americans disapprove of Mr. Biden's handling of the economy. And when it comes to inflation, the response is even bleaker. 70% disapprove of his response to the recent spike in prices. So to ease that economic pain, tonight he's expected to call on Congress to help lower the price of things for Americans by calling for a new child tax credit, expanded health care options, and raising the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. Nate.
And we are looking forward to what he's going to say tonight. Ed, thank you. You can watch President Biden's State of the Union address and the Republican response tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on CBS. Coverage kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern on the CBS News streaming network.
This morning, Texas is holding its first primary election since the legislature approved a controversial new voting law. The measure called SB1 restricts mail-in voting. It prevents county officials from sending mail-in ballot applications to voters who didn't ask for them. It also sends drive-through and 24-hour voting. Omar Villafranco is outside a polling place in Houston. Omar, good morning. A lot of people watching this one.
Good morning. Texas had some of the strictest voting laws even before SB1 was passed. But now that SB1 is law, even some of the most experienced voters are having problems getting their ballot counted.
This is my first right of citizenship. They're not going to take that away from me.
Pam Gaskin says she's only missed one election in over 50 years.
For the last, I think, 6 or 7 years, I've been voting by mail.
How was it this time around?
An absolute nightmare.
The 74-year-old is a member of Texas's League of Women Voters, and she almost missed the mail-in ballot application deadline after getting rejected twice due to changes to state voting laws, including a newly added voter identification requirement for applications and ballots that says a voter's ID must be the same type of ID that was used when the person registered to vote, which was news to Gaskin.
The first option is your driver's license number. The next line says, if you do not have a Texas driver's license, put in the last 4 digits of your Social Security number. That form does not say it has to be the one you registered with.
You put your driver's license.
I put my driver's license on.
What did you need to put on?
I should have put my Social Security.
Lisa Wise is the elections administrator for El Paso County. She says more mail-in ballots than ever are being flagged for rejection due to SB1. We spoke to her on Friday.
Right now, our ballots are at about a 34% rejection rate.
El Paso is not alone. 12% of mail-in ballots were flagged for rejection in Travis County, home to Austin. And in Harris County, the nation's fourth largest, which covers Houston, 29% of mail-in ballots were flagged for rejection, almost all of them because of SB1.
In my mind, SB1's a voter integrity bill.
State Senator Paul Betancourt co-authored SB1, which his Republican colleagues touted as making it easy to vote and hard to cheat.
After talking to also county leaders, they're saying easier to vote? Not so sure. Catch fraud? We're not referring any of these for indictment or for investigation.
Whenever there's changes in a system, there's always going to take time for people to and the election officials to understand how that works.
But Gaskin says the new rules are the latest in a series of obstacles that deter voters.
They're making voting hard, period.
Election officials have spent the past few weeks contacting voters whose ballots were rejected by mail, by telephone, trying to get them to correct it. Now, keep in mind, this is going to affect voters in both parties, but we won't know which party had more problems until after the election. Nate?
Omar, thank you. It's the last day of Mardi Gras, and up to 1.4 million people are in the city, and they are letting the good times roll. Unlike last year, when COVID restrictions canceled the city's Mardi Gras parades for the first time in 42 years. This morning, most of the rules are gone, and COVID cases are way down. But they're still higher than before the surge of the Omicron variant. Chris Van Cleve is watching the celebration that will be different from last year's.
The spectacle that is Mardi Gras is back in the Big Easy.
Mardi Gras, baby. We've been waiting 20 years to come here.
What's known as the largest free show on earth didn't happen last year because of the pandemic and returns under heightened COVID restrictions. Instead of tossing beads, some are handing out COVID tests.
What we're experiencing now is not normal, but it does give our residents some sense of normalcy.
New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
How do you keep
Mardi Gras from turning into a super spreader event?
Over 90% of our people are fully vaccinated in our city. We have our mandates in place, mask mandates, as well as being required to be vaccinated in our city.
For more than a century, the Zulu crew has been a Mardi Gras mainstay. But as cases soared here early in the pandemic, at least 17 died from COVID.
Those members who we lost would want us to celebrate and bring back the traditions that they have long been ambassadors of. So not bittersweet. I think it's more of a celebration.
But you're thinking about them.
Oh, yes. You can't do this without thinking about the over 17 brothers that we lost as a result of the pandemic.
And Zulu is back parading today. Take a look around. You can see their floats just about ready to hit the streets. The party starts early on Fat Tuesday with the costumes, the celebration, and, of course, the beads. And there will be a lot of people watching. We know hotel occupancy is around 90% today. A year ago, it was hovering around 30%. That translates to about $1 billion for the local economy. Nate?
Chris, I see you with those beads.
Yes.
I want to ask how you got them.
I was going to ask the same
thank
thing.
Thank you so much. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Have fun.
He said you don't want to know.
All right.
Chris Van Cleef has another side.
Right.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount+.